I've got loads of gay friends, and I'm sure there are loads of gay men in this evening. A few, certainly, dotted around. Are there gay men in? Keeping it quiet in Glasgow. Well, I've got loads of gay friends. I'm sure there are some gay men in this evening. How do you decide who goes where in a gay relationship? Because when it's a man and a woman, you know what goes where, don't you? Pretty much, most of the time. Apart from birthdays and Christmas. That was a good little nudge. Told you that was normal. But if it's two guys, because it's two guys, is it like calling shotgun in the car? Because I get annoyed if my friend gets to sit in the front. I'd be livid if he got to pop his cock in my bum. That is the face I would do.
Lofts. Lofts are magical places where it's always Christmas. It only happens once a year, but when I collect the Christmas tree in the car, it looks like I've overdone it on the air freshener.
The Make-A-Wish Foundation. Are you all familiar with the fine work the Make-A-Wish Foundation do? Broadly speaking, they make dreams come true for the terminally ill. What could be more worthwhile? They're a great organisation. I thoroughly approve of what they do. My only problem with them is the name. I think they should be forced to change their name. From the Make-A-Wish Foundation to the No Make Another Wish, we can't do anything about that foundation. Speaking of which, did you all see that heartbreaking story in the Mirror newspaper last year? Yeah. They ran a campaign... Are you showing off to the other children? Are you pretending you can read? By heartbreaking story, do you mean the tits on page three? What, sorry? So I'm fine for fruit and veg, thank you. I presume that's what he's talking about. Hey, hey, hey! Nice that you're here, though. It's a night off for someone, isn't it? Now, I talked about the Make-A-Wish people. Did you all see this upsetting story in the Mirror last year? It was about a five-year-old boy that needed a new kidney, otherwise he was going to die. And the Mirror ran a six-week campaign about this, yeah? I'll tell you the good thing before I tell you the funny thing. That five-year-old boy is now six. He got the kidney and he made it, thanks in no small part to the Mirror newspaper. Well done, then. Yeah? But talk about heartbreaking. Talk about tugging the heartstrings. Last Christmas, they printed his Christmas list in the paper. And the kidney was on the list. Fourth. There were things he wanted more. Number three was a Little Britain DVD. I don't want to sound tight-fisted, but I'd have got him that. There you go, mate, you'll piss yourself. I'll get someone to explain what kidneys do after the show.
Oh, speaking of special occasions, there was a couple in a couple of weeks ago at one of my gigs, 35 years married. I got chatting to them because I thought, well, quite an incredible thing in this day and age. Got chatting to them. I said, what do you get her for the anniversary? And he said, deep fat fryer. I said, well, what did she get you? And he went, chips. And they seemed thrilled with that arrangement. It got me chatting to people about, what is the worst gift you've ever got? Birthday, anniversary, Christmas, Valentine's. What is the worst piece of shit you ever got? We've had a heckle. Go on, what was that, sir? A little bit louder.
Tickets to this show.
No, that was fine. Sir, what's your name?
Toby.
What, sorry?
Toby.
Toby, do you mind me sharing with the group? Thank you very much indeed, Toby. That makes it much easier. Because there's a heckle. It's quite a good heckle, quite a funny heckle. But we have to do a heckle put down now. God. I would love if I could just let it go, but I can't. There are rules. But you don't mind me sharing with the group, so it makes it much easier. We can go old school. What, sorry?
Stop stalling.
Stop stalling. Don't panic, sir. I've got this. I'll have to put you on asshole waiting. Toby's mum. is so fat. She's a fucking disgrace, Toby. Your mum is such a chunky monkey wobble slob. Fatty boom batty blubbernaut. She's so fucking fat, when she fell down the stairs, I thought EastEnders had finished. Boom, 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 ba 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 bum. True story. Ahem. You, sir. What did you say? What was it? Stop stalling? Yeah? What's your name?
Gary.
Are you trying to say Gary? Watch me. Gary. Yeah. 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 The fuck is that? Well, Gary, if you want my comeback, you'll have to scrape it off your mum's teeth. Are there any single men in this evening? Anyone single? You're single. Well, don't panic. I've got some advice for you. If you really like a girl and you ask her out and she says to you, I love you like a brother, suggest a weekend in Norfolk. Unless you're from Norfolk, in which case it probably is your sister. So are you from Norfolk? You don't look like you're from Norfolk.
I'm from Thetford in Norfolk.
You're from Thetford in Norfolk. And is that your sister, girlfriend, both? Sorry, and you're here with your sister? Not really, though. Saturday night out, I'll take my sister. She's a looker. Have you ever with the... I'm only asking. Do you think your sister's attractive, can I ask? Do you think she's attractive or not?
She's okay.
She's okay. Did you give her one? That was very low, sorry. What about you, love? I can't believe that. He's from Norfolk. And he's brought his sister. It could scarcely be better. I'm amazed you didn't bring your mum. Did you split up? Okay, finally, I need something you find in a kitchen.
No, I
a woman? It's not 1974. You can find a kitchen, a woman. She'll have my tea on. Your mum? Who said your mum? How old are you? Your mum. Your mum's in the kitchen. She'll make you tea and toast if you're nice. Mum. Your mum. That's what we're going for there. OK. Right. So we've got Henry VIII, Australian accent, mind reading. He's a creationist. Your mum. Should we leave it there? Genuinely. That is all the improv I do. That's my favourite bit, the bit where people shout out suggestions. The actual play bit at the end, I always think, is a bit shit. I'm always suspicious they might just be making that up. You actually look disappointed as an audience now. You're like, oh, I thought it was going to be really good. The Aussie Henry VIII and his mum. Oh, yeah, do you want to get married? I can read your fucking mind. How shit's that? What, sorry? I forgot your mum. All right, there's Henry VIII fucking your mum. You happy now? That's your mum. You happy? Did we miss out your mum? Is she getting fucked by the king? Oh, yeah. All right, Sheila? Yeah, take it, you bitch. Yeah. I know you like it, I can read your fucking mind. Hey, you happy now? Why now?
Dave and Susan, they've been going out for years and years and years, 10 years, since college. Susan went home for the weekend to see her parents. They had Sunday lunch together, they got a little bit tipsy over lunch. Nothing the matter with that, you would think. Lovely. All the way up to Hull to see them. Got drunk over Sunday lunch, somehow the topic of wife swapping came up. And her parents, for a joke, said, oh, we were terrible for that back in the 70s. Oh, keys in a bowl at a party. Oh, terrible. Oh, always doing it. We don't know who your real dad is. They said that to their daughter. Now, she was fine at the time because she was drunk at a lunch. But then on the train ride home, she starts to feel a bit grimy and horrible and, And eventually, she works herself up into a real state. She thinks, well, maybe it was a joke on me. Maybe they were joking, but I was the butt of the joke. Maybe they did do that in the 70s. Maybe he's not my real dad. Oh, God. She got into Dave, and of course, what Dave should have done is taken her in his strong, loving arms. Hey, it's just a silly joke. I'll pop the kettle on. I'll make you a cup of tea. I'll run you a bath. That is what he should have done. But that's not what he did. That's not what he said. What he said, without skipping a beat, I've killed an African child. But what he said, without skipping a beat, straight away, who got your mum? Go on, what was the question? Yes, I think if I'm not mistaken, that's one of Wittgenstein's theorems. You'd suck off his mum. He's done you. He has done you. I'm not from Perth, so I may never have to make that decision. Fucking hell. You sound like you come from a very broken home. I'm not suggesting you fucked your mum, but only because you wouldn't want to two-time your sister. I saw a thing in the paper a couple of months ago. It said, if you're filling in an application form these days, trying to apply for a job or maybe applying for university, something like that, anything where you have to fill in a form, they don't care about your qualifications as much. What they want is someone with a bit of a sense of humour. I thought, well, I could help with that. I think of some funny things you could put in forms. Might help someone out. Is anyone applying for a job or anything like that? Oh, what are you applying for?
Teacher.
To be a teacher? Ooh. I read a thing recently that said that the best teachers, the ones that graduate very top of teacher training, go and teach at special needs schools. I couldn't help thinking, isn't that a bit of a waste? What are they going to get, a better standard of potato painting? Well, this might help if you're getting your CV together, you never know. Education qualifications, you've got to kick off with that for the CV. I went to boarding school, I was a day boy, at least I think that's what they were shouting. I got a double first at Cambridge. First person to get their balls out in choir practice. First person to be hospitalised by a chaplain. Personal statement. That's an annoying thing. You've got to do a personal statement. Now, you've already filled in a CV and an application form, and then they might write a little essay about yourself at the end. It's rubbish. Here's my personal statement. You can borrow it if you like. I've got tiny balls. Balls like marbles. Is that personal enough? I shave them. There, I said it. What do you expect the position you've applied for to involve? Endless meetings, a few months of keeping my head down, a fight with the boss at the Christmas party, a drunken sexual dalliance with a colleague, some sort of harassment tribunal followed by a swift departure. A little bit of realism there, a little bit of truth for you. Oh, I applied to be in the police. Any policemen in? Undercover, I see. Well, they've got a great form, the police. What's your greatest personal achievement to date, they ask. I've said I've stolen over £16,000 worth of stationery without once getting caught. What I used to do is I used to take all the post-it notes and pens and pads and ink cartridges and laptops, stuff you're going to nick anyway. Instead of nicking it in my bag or my coat, what I used to do is get all that stuff, put it in a box, yeah? And then when it was full, take it to the post room and have them deliver it to my house. It was fucking brilliant. Because not only did you get the stuff you were going to steal anyway, you also got kind of a Christmas morning surprise 2 days later. A package for me. Who could have been so kind?
It was me. Has anyone in here been flashed? Yeah. Go on, what happened, madam? Is it a funny story or is it distressing?
I was in a club and some guy flashed me.
In a club? Yeah. In a club and someone flashed you in the club?
Yeah.
Are you sure you didn't go off with a man in a club? I was kissing him and under his zip and then he flashed me. Go on, what happened? Tell me the story.
It was in the middle of the dance floor
and he was throwing some shapes and one of his was... So to get rid of the guy, your friend told him you were lesbians. That's how these two started, but then they liked it, so they stuck with it. And did that work?
She said, we don't like cock.
So someone got his cock out in the middle of the dance floor in a club, and you went, oh no, sorry, we're lesbians. You could have just told him to fuck off. You're incredibly polite. I'll make up an excuse so he doesn't feel bad. I don't want the flasher to feel rejected. How nice are you? And has anyone else been flashed?
I got arrested for flashing.
You got arrested for flashing?
Yeah.
Well, don't take it out on me. What do you mean you got arrested for flashing?
Well, I was going for a piss.
You were going for a piss? This sounds like bullshit to me. You were going for a piss. Where were you going for a piss? Set the scene for us. I've never met anyone that's flashed. Go on. It's going for a piss in a primary school.
Got in a car park,
okay. In a car park outside, you're going for a piss. Caught short. Late at night, fine, okay.
Yeah, and I needed a piss, so I went up against a tree.
You went up against a tree?
Yeah.
Turned out it wasn't a tree, it was a fat girl. Go on, so you walked up to a tree to take a pee in a car park. This doesn't sound terrible. So far, I'm on this guy's side. Go on.
So there was a woman in the trees.
There was a woman in the trees. Sounds like you've broken dogging etiquette by pissing on someone. So you went up to take a piss on a tree, and there was a woman in the tree.
She was walking. There's a pathway.
She was walking, okay.
And it was outside a police station.
What kind of a fucking idiot are you? You went for a piss in the police station car park. Why don't you just turn yourself in? That's a cry for help if ever I heard one. Lock me up before I hurt someone. And what, did she scream? Did she complain? What happened?
She went into the police station and they came out and arrested me for indecent exposure.
They came out and arrested you for indecent... Is it because you're a bit ginger? Do you think they would have let you off if you hadn't been quite as... I'm sorry about these lights as well. We could well be giving you skin cancer. I think I'm on your side there. If you were taking a piss, that's not indecent exposure, is it? What do you think? Are we on this guy's side?
Yeah.
There's one man, no. Stop pissing outside, you crazy fool. I got interviewed last week by a very nice young lady. She said, what's your house like? I said, I've got a semi. Which would have been fine, but then I showed it to her. And of course, by then, it wasn't a semi. If you ask 10 randomly chosen women how often they wash their knickers, a surprising number answer, how did you get in here? Treat them mean, keep them keen. That's what they say, isn't it? Treat them mean, keep them keen. But I think you've gone too far if you're using a Stanley knife. Of course, a lot of women stay with their men even if their men hit them. A lot of women will stay with their husbands even if their husbands beat them. I tell you what they need, a slap. Where's your self-esteem? Silly cow. She was tiny. Of course, the thing people never say about domestic violence, and it strikes me as being just so very obvious, but people never say this about domestic violence, is just how fucking stupid it is. I mean, you're hitting your wife. It's your wife. You might as well key your own fucking car. Think about it. You don't like her now, you're not gonna like her anymore with two black eyes and a bit of a face on, are you? Let's talk about fears. Our subconscious mind. That's quite an interesting area, isn't it? Yeah. The best way to conquer a fear of spiders is next time you see a spider, imagine it naked. Has anyone got, like, a morbid fear of spiders? Like a... Someone's got one over there. Got... Oh. Your brother has. But so that's kind of... Oh, well, he's here. It wasn't just a random... I haven't got phobia, but my brother has. Maybe you could help with that. What's your name, sir?
Kyle.
Kyle? And you speak for him? When you say your brother, you're not from Paisley. You're not going out or anything, are you? Oh, no, I'm just asking, cos... What do you do, Kyle?
Nothing to do, but...
What, sorry?
Nothing
to do. Nothing the now. It's a new... Kyle and I are just workshopping. We're coming up with a new children's character for Scotland. He's called Nothing the Now... The unemployed donkey. Nothing the now? What the fuck is that, Kyle? What do you do for a living? You're unemployed?
Aye.
All right. Well, good. It was lovely having you here. Especially in view of the fact a lot of the taxpayers paid for you to fucking be here. Well, yeah. Let's face it, we're in Glasgow. There's a lot of people applauded that have never paid any tax in their fucking lives. Yeah, there's tax on spirits, isn't there? And what I'd like to do, Carl, my gift to you, give something back to the community. Not just put care in it. I'd like to cure you of your fear of spiders. You up for this? Like Derren Brown style with sort of hypnosis, cure your fear of spiders. You up for this? Fabulous, all right, because it's happening. OK, imagine, Carl, you're at home in bed, under the duvet, as snug as a bug in a rug. And you're dreaming of whatever unemployed people in Glasgow dream of. I don't know, being on the social for another few years. I don't fucking know. Oh, and then I sign my name and the check keep coming. Oh, lovely. OK, so you're at home in bed, but then what I'm saying is you're in the most safe and secure environment you could possibly be in. You're under the duvet, safe and secure and warm. Dreaming away. A spider, Kyle. Size of my hand. Big, hairy motherfucker. Crawls on your face as you lie sleeping. Doesn't wake you, Kyle. You're still dreaming of nice things. Buckfast and the like. Just sits there for a while on your face, Carl, as you sleep. Lays its eggs in your tear ducts. And scampers away to its enormous giant spider nest under your bed where it lives. You can check later if you like. Okay, you wake up in the morning fresh as a daisy. Lovely, ready for a busy day. Well, you're awake anyway. OK, so you're absolutely fine the next morning, that's my point. About a week later, you're sitting reading the paper, you know. It's a weird itch. 1,000 spiders hatch out of your eyes! has that helped at all? That needs work, doesn't it? Sorry. If it's any consolation, it's only Carl, doesn't matter.
People knock the X Factor and they knock Britain's Got Talent, but the way I see it, someone's got to turn the Christmas lights on in Stoke. And it's not going to be me. Again this year.
My favourite suicide bomber of the last year. Oh, you're better than me because you haven't got a list. Whatever. My favourite suicide bomber... Well, I've got a couple that I really like. The Detroit bomber. Do you know this guy that flew into Detroit last Christmas? So he flew into Detroit airport. He had an explosive device in his underpants. The triggering device went off. The explosives didn't detonate. So there was smoke billowing around, but everything didn't blow up straight away. Just smoke billowing. So the other passengers, you can imagine, in America, post-9/11, how they put him out. They didn't run and get a safety blanket and some water and a stewardess. No, they stamped the fucker out. In quite a camp flamenco style, if this is anything to go by. Possibly with a... But, I mean, they fucking ruined this guy. They didn't kill him, but they ruined him. Now, normally, I would say, well, you know what? Fuck him. He was trying to kill innocent people as they flew home for Christmas. Fuck him very much. But my heart goes out to this guy. because his court case is coming up in America in the next couple of months, and he's going to have a very tough time in a court of law defending himself, because the prosecution have got it so easy. The prosecution are just going to go, you telling the truth? Yeah, I'm telling the truth. Were your pants on fire?
...97% of all dangerous driving offences are committed by men. You know what that means? It means 3% are committed by bloody women drivers. You know who you are, you're a fucking menace. Well, I'll tell you why I've asked you all to come this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to talk to you about men that like obese women. I'm not talking about men that like women with a fuller figure. That seems entirely normal, natural and right. More cushion for the pushing, as I believe people say. I think that's the expression. No, I'm talking about men that like women who are can't leave the house fat. So, I'm not talking about anyone in here this evening. Unless, in order to get out, someone had to cut the side of the house off and there was some sort of winch involved. I'm not talking about people with water retention. I'm talking about people with cake retention. People that tell you they've got a thyroid problem. You say, oh, really, a thyroid problem? What are you taking for that? Pies? You know, the kind of girl that looks as if she makes a cracking breakfast, but wouldn't want to share it with you. I saw a thing on TV the other day, actually. It was on one of these kind of makeover shows that were on during the day. They did a makeover on a girl. She was 34 stone. It's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I say a makeover, they gave her a fringe. Is that really going to turn the corner for a girl like that? That's what I'm asking. I don't think it will. I can't imagine the scenario where a guy, you know, he's drinking in a bar, he looks across, he sees a girl, she's 34 stone. It'd be tough to miss her, let's face it. He thinks to himself, she's a little bit big for me. Goes back to his drink. Meanwhile, the makeover team are in. Snip, snip, snip. He looks back, he thinks, actually, I would. It's the excuses that get me. The excuses are amazing. The camera adds 10 pounds. Stop eating fucking cameras.
My crisps tasted rubbish. Oh. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. I became Latino there for a second. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. I had crisps. Did you see? I had crisps. Jimmy Con Carne crisps. The good people at Walkers, for comic relief, they brought out a flavour of my crisps, and it was me and Al Murray and Frank Skinner and Stephen Fry, and then they made these crisps, and every packet they sold, they gave 5p to the starving people in Africa. And I said to them, why don't you just send them the fucking crisps? It's got to make more sense, hasn't it? Because they can't be as fussy about the flavours. If you're starving, you're fine, aren't you? Well, these are a bit... Nah, fair enough.
A dog is for life, not just for Christmas. So do be careful at the office party. I used to be quite religious, and I'm fascinated by lots of religious groups. There's some brilliant ones. There's the people that wear the armbands, WWJD. Stands for What Would Jesus Do? And Christians wear them to remind them to be more like Christ in everyday life. They sort of see that and they're, oh, what would Jesus do in this situation? Yeah. For the most part, they're very effective. They make people so annoying, you want to nail them to a cross. My absolute favourite Christian organisation of all time, it's called Christians Against Teenage Pregnancies. That's the Everest of hypocrisy, isn't it? If Jesus taught us nothing else, he taught us that the unwanted babies of teenage mums can turn out all right. You look as if you didn't quite understand that. Do you know who the protagonist is? It's Jesus, born at Christmas or Easter. You must have heard of him. He could walk on water. Well, he probably couldn't walk on water. His mum probably just exaggerated. He was probably very good on ice skates. He died for your sins. Come. I bought my girlfriend a book called Cheap and Easy Vegetarian Cooking, which is ideal for her because not only is she a vegetarian, she's reading a book at the moment called Women That Love Too Much, which I think could have the title shortened. The sluts. The reason old men use Viagra is not because they're impotent. It's because old women are so very ugly. Ladies, if you get a burning sensation when you pee, it could be one of three things. It could be cystitis. It could be a bushfire. Or it could be someone's talking about your vagina.
I'm 10 years into a relationship now. Anyone be there? Anyone longer than 10 years?
Yes.
What's the longest we got in the room?
13.
13?
26.
26? Anyone more than 26? 28? More than 28? How long? Sorry? You've been together for 43 years? I think, come on, 43 years. Now, I don't know what it's like after 43 years. I think that's an extraordinary commitment, especially in this day and age. That is quite something. But I don't know if it's the same for you, because I've only been together with my girl for 10 years, but things have got quite predictable in the bedroom. Now, when I lower my entire ball bag into her mouth, she is pretty much guaranteed to wake up. Same? Oh, you couldn't see that. He just went, yeah, same. You look worried on their behalf. They've been married 43 years. Don't panic. They've tried everything. What's your relationship with them? How do you know them? That's your mum and dad. Oh. That's nice. Well, I hope the image of your dad teabagging your mum hasn't... I don't know about looking your parents in the eyes again. I don't think you'll be able to drink tea. Hi.
Now, for better or for worse, this is the question I use to judge an audience, to judge individuals. If you could all answer, that would be great. Would you fuck your dad to save your mum?
Have any of you seen my impressions? Have you seen any of my impressions before? I don't do many. I do a few. I'll do one for you now. Are there any lesbians in? Does anyone enjoy smashing pasties? Huh? Are there any lesbians? There must be some lesbians, surely. What is there, a pool tournament on? Well, where are the lesbians? Are you up there somewhere? Oh, there's some lesbians up there. Are there lesbians over here? Hello, girls. How are you? You all right? Very nice to have you in. The impression that I do, it's more a piece of physical theatre than an impression per se. But it's the... hang on, the cameraman's coming to get the lesbians. It's more a piece of physical theatre than an impression, but it's actually the breakup of a same-sex relationship between two women. And I think it captures the emotional turmoil and the anguish when love breaks down. When you still love that person, but you're no longer in love with that person and you've got to go your separate ways. Would you like me to perform it for you now? Okay. Just give me a second here. Yeah, what did you think was going to happen? I feel duty bound now. What's your name, madam?
Shiral.
What?
Shiral.
Okay, fine. Shiral. Sure, we'll go with Shiral. And who are you with? Who's the other half?
Rosie.
Hi. I feel duty bound to ask you the question I've asked every lesbian I've ever met. What would it take to get you back on solids? Oh, I got a maybe, yes. I'm two Bacardi breezes away. Come on.
When I was at school, a girl called Alice wanked off a dog for 3 cigarettes. I know what you're thinking. How did a dog get cigarettes? I once had sex with an Australian girl. She said mid-coitus, whilst fucking. She said, have you slimed yet? You slimed yet? I thought it was not fucking Ghostbusters. I fantasize about having sex with a gymnast.
not just because they're really bendy and flexible and you could do loads of extraordinary positions, but also because I imagine they do a brilliant dismount. They end up by the side of the bed like that. And if they bend their knees even just a little bit, you can make them do it again. You're sniggering. What's your name? Blonde lady who... Move along? What are you saying, Vicky? Dance for me, monkey boy? Is he your fella? Well, what do you mean? He's either your fella or he isn't. Is he your fella? Yeah. Sorry, she's saying yes. And you're saying no, and you're just look, you've gone really red and you look really embarrassed. They're fuck buddies. Oh! I see. What? How very modern. How very 2005. So you're not going out with each other, but you are fuck buddies. That is fantastic. Can we just all take a moment to, you know, congratulate that man there? A lot of work has gone into that. A lot of work has gone into that. He's had to buy a Cosmopolitan for a couple of years. Sorry? And they'll know that you're a dirty little hussy. The great thing about that is that he's convinced you that, yeah, we don't need a relationship. It's so old-fashioned. I should be able to sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. And so should you, as long as it's just me. When I say...
There must be something else going on.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of jokes. It's not every day I get to talk to a slag. Come on. Now, I don't know where the mark is until I overstep it. That's my... You just did. That is juvenile. That... Sorry, for those of you that didn't see that, it'll be on the DVD. Available at all good car boots. Vicky's response to that... Yeah, she's been called a slag at a show. That's not good in anyone's book, and I apologise for that unreservedly. But did you really need to do that? God bless you. Let's talk about gifts, because gifts are very important when you're in a relationship. They show your partner how you feel about them. This is interesting. My girlfriend suggested last Christmas that we limit ourselves to £20 for each other's presents. But I wasn't thinking about spending that kind of money. Obviously, if you're buying gifts for a woman, it's pretty easy. Just go for the classics. You know, champagne, chocolates, flowers. Unless you're dating an alcoholic bulimic with hay fever. I buy my girlfriend flowers every week, because I really fancy the girl in the florist. I've told the girl in the florist my girlfriend's dead. I thought it was a good idea at the time. It slightly backfired. You try explaining to your other half why you got her a wreath 4 weeks in a row. Obviously, different flowers express different emotions. So, for example, red flowers say passion, yellow flowers say love, and self-raising flower says, make me a cake. There's a thin line between neighbourhood watch and becoming a vigilante, and it's a line you cross when you buy a cape. Do you know there's now a warning on superhero costumes? If you buy a superhero costume, it says on it, this costume does not give you special powers. Or, indeed, the right to see your children. Kids say the funniest things. Please don't hurt Mummy. She's already dead. Are there any mums in? By shouting out, who's a mum?
Yes.
Proper ones, not just ones that have done it to get a flat.
kidding. We all love mums. You know, mums are great. They're the great unsung heroes of our society. They do so much for so little. What do mums ever get? All they ever get is, you know, not even a thank you, just Mother's Day. Mother's Day's rubbish, isn't it? It's like a Toblerone from the garage or some flowers from a lamppost. What? I think it's all right to give your mum flowers you've taken from a lamppost where there's been an accident. Cos if you think about it, you wouldn't do that if she'd brought you up a little bit better. It's her fault. Of course, one of the major supermarkets is trying to redress the balance, yeah? There's just Mother's Day for mums, but they've decided to have a Mum of the Year competition. Mum of the Year, to sort of, you know, just reward ordinary, everyday mums. Acknowledge, you know, all the good work mums do. The only thing I would question about their charitable endeavour is the massive banners they put outside every one of their superstores saying, enter your mum today. I mean, fair enough, if she's up for that, she deserves something. Might I suggest a call from social services? Sugary tea was my mum's cure for everything. Her, like, elixir of life. If you had any kind of problem, emotional, physical, financial, it wouldn't matter. She would say, come in, I'll make you a nice sweet cup of tea. Which was fine until we found out my brother was diabetic. My nana, my mum's mum, used to make me a jumper every Christmas. Did anyone else have that? She used to make me a jumper every Christmas. Much better than the ones in the shops. No. No, it isn't. I remember one year she made me this burgundy monstrosity. Sleeves way too long, and in the front she'd embroidered, Blacks Go Home. I said, I'm not wearing that. It's burgundy. And the sleeves are too long, you crazy racist whore. My girlfriend is without a doubt the most beautiful girl I could get. I'll cut to the chase on this. People always ask, have you ever cheated on your partner? Well, yes, it's happened. It's nothing that I'm proud of, but, well, it was last Christmas and I read all the Trivial Pursuit questions before we played. And then I fucked her sister. Which, if anything, made it worse. She's forgiven me now, though. She told me recently, she said, I'm fine, nothing's wrong. Good. I thought it was weird because she was crying. So I said, what's the problem? And she said, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. So I guess she's organising some sort of surprise party. Are you all right in the back? Excellent. It's nice to hear that, because often when I go to comedy shows, and I go to them all the time, I love coming out to see live comedy. The thing is, though, if I'm sat right at the back, I'm a little bit disappointed. I always get my ticket and go, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm fucking miles away. But there are, of course, advantages to being right at the back. You get more of a sense of theatre, of people coming together and sharing a sense of humour. What a wonderful thing that is, the great British music hall spirit. And also, if you're right at the back, this sort of thing won't happen. I fucked your mum. That's not going to happen to any of you. I've got nothing but respect for your mums. They're hard-working, decent women. Your mum still owes me a tenner. I'm joking. I owe her a tenner. Bluff. I'm your real dad. Kidding, no one knows who your real dad is. That isn't your mum there, is it? Sorry. This is a bit awkward. Hello, sir. She's brilliant in bed, isn't she? Well, sorry, I don't remember her. What, that's the thing that annoys you? Not the fact I fucked your mum, the fact... You don't even remember fucking my mum.
Hello, my name's Jimmy Carr, and I've got a brand new tour called Laughs Funny. Now, here's the interesting thing. There's two shows every night, one at 7, one at 9.30. Not to put too fine a point on it, I had a bit of a run-in with the tax man. So it's one for me, one for them. Come to the second show, there'll be more heckling.